And Jesus Christ, the Son's spokesman for this church age. Let me say it again. Let it soak in. The Holy Spirit is God's agent for this church age. The Holy Spirit is the spokesman for Jesus Christ the Son in this church age. To ignore the Holy Spirit or to refuse to believe in His works is to close the very door upon the very plan of God and to exclude from the church the very power of God. Listen. To ignore the Holy Spirit or to refuse to believe in His works is to close the door upon the very plan of God and to exclude from the church the very power of God. The Holy Spirit has always been the triune God's force, power, agent, and accomplisher, always in the knowledge of man based upon the Bible. To ignore Him, the Holy Spirit, or deny Him, or to malign His works is a sin of deepest consequences and eternal implication. Always remember this when you think of the Holy Spirit. Now God the Father dealt with humankind during the 4,000 years of Old Testament history. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came to earth and died for the sins of mankind. And His physical life on earth was only 33 years in length, and His ministry among men less than 4 years. And during both of these important tenures of God the Father and God the Son, the Holy Spirit was active. He was not separated. He was not gone. He was active in the Old Testament. He was active in the ministry of Jesus Christ when He was on earth in His earthly body. He was the agent of strength and the power that God the Father used. The Holy Spirit was the miraculous force that Jesus Christ used. So please understand that the three persons in the Holy Adorable Trinity are never separated in purpose or will. They are all in perfect harmony and agreement, and they never work separately from each other. There is always perfect harmony. You cannot please the Father by criticizing the Holy Spirit. You cannot serve the Son and ignore the blessed Holy Spirit. Spirit, because God is Elohim, the God's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in a very unique and extremely special way, the Holy Spirit has had His dispensation during the church age, or the dispensation of grace. Jesus made it very plain that He bodily and visibly would ascend back to His Father. Jesus would. But that when He ascended back to His Father, that He would cause the Father or pray the Father to send to the believers the Holy Spirit to abide with them and to be their guide and comforter. Now get ready for scriptures. John 14:16, the words of Jesus Himself. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Jesus said, I'll send, or I'll pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter. Scripture number 2, John 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. Jesus still speaking. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, no question there, is there? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Scripture 3, John 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26, Jesus still speaking. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Scripture number 4, John 16 now, and verse 7, Jesus still speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, do you see the unique place the Holy Spirit has in the church? Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Scripture number 5, John 16 and 13. 16 and 13. Jesus still speaking. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now notice that Jesus Christ himself placed extreme importance upon the Holy Spirit and his ministries among us. I'm going slow in my message tonight, preaching not as hard and fast as I usually do because of the content of this message. I want you to listen to it very carefully. God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our teacher, our Comforter, our power, our miracles, our wisdom, our knowledge, our faith, our word of prophecy, our victory, our joy. In other words, when you cut off the Holy Spirit from ministering to you, you cut yourself off from the Father and the Son also. God only moves in this church age by the Holy Spirit. Now again, let me remind you that the three persons in the Godhead of the triune God work in perfect harmony with each other. And ladies and gentlemen, if we are to fully follow God, then we must honor the third person of the Trinity, the one who took up the reins of government on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit has his rightful place as the administrator of the things of God, heaven and earth come together. And the glory of God will come down, and apostolic results are seen to follow. This is God's plan. There are no substitutes for the Holy Spirit. He is not an it nor an influence. He is a person having all the divine attributes, capable of exercising all the divine functions, and doing all of the divine work. The Holy Spirit is not a newcomer nor a later comer on the stage of action. He has been here from the beginning and has always been interested in the work and the works of God. The Holy Spirit was a director of all order in creation. Out of chaos, cosmos was brought by his brooding and force. The one who was interested in the world's generation is also interested in humanity's regeneration, the blessed Holy Spirit. From the time of the fall, when sin became a fact in human history, another form of his ministry began. The ministry of the Holy Spirit during the long centuries has been diversified, but it has always had a unified aim. He is the author of every movement of the soul toward God. Don't ever forget that. He makes truth effective. He conserves true orthodoxy. He makes the Church of Jesus Christ more terrible than an army with banners. He reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. The Holy Spirit shakes a valley of bones and brings out an army out of the graveyard. He regenerates sinners and leads them through the world's great altar stairs that slope through darkness up to God. He makes believers feel the need of holiness and fills them with the fullness of God. He empowers the saints and he makes them mighty through God in pulling down the strongholds of sin and of Satan. The Holy Spirit takes weak things and confounds the mighty. He makes waters break out of the wilderness and streams in the desert. He makes the lame man to leap as the hart and the tongue of the mute to sing. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ that performs the miracles for the church today. Now listen. When God moved in mysterious power in the Old Testament, he used the blessed Holy Spirit. When Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, he did it through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you something. If you want to know, ladies and gentlemen, why so many churches are dead and lifeless, with barren altars, with no miracles, with a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, if you want to know why pews are empty and hearts are empty, if you want to know the only way that some churches can get a crowd is by giving away lollipops or sponsoring a singing group, it is because that church has omitted the one essential thing from its services, the blessed Holy Spirit. You mark it down. When a church is filled with strife and fussing, when pews are empty, when Wednesday night rolls around and there are about enough people there to flag a handguard, when Sunday night dawns and there are not enough people to have service so they have to dismiss it for the summer, mark it down. That church has excluded from its services the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you belong to such a church, it is a sin for you to support it. Now hang on. More about that later. To attempt to make a church what God wants it to be without the Holy Spirit's power and drive, it's like having a locomotive without diesel. It's like having an automobile without fuel, brother. It just won't go. And my friend, in this age of new thought and new voices, new books, new theologies, new psychology, new philosophy, new religions, and everything that hell can concoct and the devil can suggest, there is still only one plan of God for the power of the Church of Jesus Christ, and his name is the blessed Holy Spirit. It is the only plan God ever inaugurated. His name is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the great dispensation of the Holy Spirit. It began on the day of Pentecost, when God sent the Holy Ghost upon the church just as Jesus had promised. Now, the words Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are interchangeable. They're one and the same person. There is no difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is just the King James Version rendering of it, the archaic English, the Elizabethan English rendering. Holy Spirit is the modern-day translation, but it's all the same thing. And this is a dispensation of the Holy Spirit. It began on the day of Pentecost when God sent the Holy Spirit upon the church, just as Jesus has promised. Now, my friend, let me say this about the Holy Spirit. He is God's plan. And yet, now you think of this. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. He will abide with you. This was God's plan for the church. This was God's power for the church. This was God's spirit for the church. And yet, do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that right down here in this end of the age, that the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood, the most feared, the most abused, the most rejected, the most quenched, the most misused person in the church today? Indeed, many people go to church for years and never hear anything about the Holy Spirit. Do you know that there are people who attend this church that came from other churches, other denominations, that have gone there for years and been active in the administrative capacity of those churches, who never heard a sermon on the Holy Spirit, who never heard anything about the Holy Spirit? And yet he is God's plan. He is so abused and rejected, misused and misunderstood. So now, my friend, let me sound a solemn warning. Those who would rudely shove the Holy Spirit from the place of leadership in the church are flirting with eternal disaster. Did you hear me? You listen to this preacher of truth. Those who would shove the Holy Spirit from his rightful place of authority in the church of Jesus Christ are flirting with eternal disaster. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that you are not permitted to tell the Holy Spirit what part of him you want and what part you do not want. He is a whole person, and you take him in his entirety or you take him not at all. Did you hear me? He is a total person. You do not have the ability nor the privilege nor the God-given right to say, Holy Spirit, I like your love and your joy and your peace and all of that, but I don't want your miracles and your tongues and your gifts. You do not have the right to segment the blessed Holy Spirit. And when you do, you tread on the most dangerous possible ground. Stay with me now. Now, you may get by as a Christian through ignorance for a while. You may. But you have a responsibility to read the Word of God and to learn all you can about the blessed Holy Spirit. Oh, my friend, this is the day of restoration, when the Holy Spirit is restoring the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit to the church in its fullness. And the line of demarcation, now you get this, in this momentous hour, the line of demarcation is being drawn between those who will and those who will not honor the blessed Holy Spirit. This is where the line is being drawn. But you say, but my church says, preacher, wait a minute. Wait a minute. My friend, you had better not be as concerned about what your church says as you are what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. For when you stand before Almighty God, you will not be judged according to what your church said. You will be judged according to the Word of God and what it says. But you say, oh, wait a minute. My pastor explained it this way. You had better not be as concerned with how your pastor explains the Holy Spirit as you are in how God explains the Holy Spirit in His book, the Bible. Now, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, there are differences of opinion and everybody cannot be right. There are denominational barriers between us that segment us and divide us. And some of our teachings and aspects on the blessed Holy Spirit are diametrically opposed. Both stands cannot be right. And you say, what should we do in such a dilemma? Do not listen to dogma. Do not listen to creed. Do not listen to denomination. Do not listen to a preacher, including myself. Go to God's book, the Bible, and read what God says about the blessed Holy Spirit, and then believe that with all of your heart. Your soul is at stake. Your very soul is at stake, believe me. That comes up later. Now, God is doing a mighty work throughout all the world today. The prophet Joel prophesied that in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And the first fruits of this great outpouring occurred on the day of Pentecost and immediately thereafter. How do I know? Because Simon Peter said concerning the miracle of the baptism in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It began right there. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It is expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send Him unto you. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in one place, in one mind and of one accord, when suddenly there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Does that bother you that you hear publicly mentioned they spoke in tongues? That's because you view it from the sectarian view of some denominational guideline and not from reading what the Word of God says in no uncertain terms. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's either true or it's a lie. And the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care if he pastors the most prestigious church on earth. Now, the first fruits fell on the day of Pentecost. For many years, now the Holy Spirit has been falling in this latter day. What you and I are hearing and experiencing during this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, beginning more than 60 years ago, is the latter rain. The Bible tells us that the Father waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth until he receive the early and the latter rain. And this is preceding the rapture and will continue on for Israel through tribulation. Oh, my friend, this is God's day of restoration. The fullness of the Holy Ghost is falling on hungry hearts everywhere. I stand amazed at this great outpouring. Now, you listen to me. For many years, those of us who experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and dared to publicly confess that we spoke in tongues and believed in the exercise of the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, for many years we were ostracized, we were criticized, we were stigmatized, and we were ridiculed. But God had given us something that was based upon the teaching of the Word of God, and we would not turn loose of what God had done in our hearts through the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire. But now, just before Jesus comes, something unusual is happening. The ultimate fulfillment for the church of the prophecy of Joel, the Spirit poured out upon all flesh. Mark it well, ladies and gentlemen. It is no longer the odd babblings of somebody in a little storefront church on the other side of the tracks. It is no longer a few people gathering in a tent or under a brush arbor and seeking God and weeping their way through to victory until the Holy Ghost fell like the rain from heaven. But the hierarchy in the church and the more learned doctors of divinity looked down their long ecclesiastical noses and said, "It's nothing but the riffraff, the non-intelligent, the simple and the poor." But read again the life of Jesus, for it was the poor that heard him gladly. Read again the words of Paul, that not many noble nor mighty after the flesh are called, but those that are humble enough to take the weak things of God and with them confound the mighty. But my friend, we were ostracized and criticized and ridiculed and driven out from the historic churches. They said, "We don't want you. You're not welcome." But no longer is it the strange happening in some little storefront building on the other side of the tract. But the Holy Spirit is transcending denominational guidelines and barriers. And upon the sophisticated Presbyterian who have hungry hearts, upon the very austere and regimented Episcopalians who have open and hungry hearts, upon even the cocksure Church of Christ that say we're the only ones, there are some with open hearts, and in every Christian denomination on this earth, there is a cry that goes up to God, and God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh around this world, and men are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is the last day outpouring. And God is visiting honest hearts. I stand amazed. The Catholics, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, the Church of Christ adherents, the Methodists, the Lutherans, some Nazarene,
Not so many Baptists or Nazarenes, because there is such a pride of denomination until they will not open their hearts to God. Don't you criticize what the Holy Ghost is doing in the world. What the Holy Spirit is doing. Many of these churches are taking an official stand against the plain teaching of the Holy Bible concerning the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And He is grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved. He comes to the church with all of His power and all of His gifts. And all of His fruit, the church has rudely shut the door in His face. Listen, can you imagine how grieved the tender Holy Spirit is? Oh, I can hear Him say to many churches, I came to the church, but the church received me not. I came with all my gifts to help the people. But the door was shut in my face and I was left on the outside. I can hear Him say, I came with wisdom, but they rejected. I came with knowledge, but they refused. I came with healing, but I was criticized. I came with a prayer language and direct access to God, but they would not listen. I came with all my gifts to help the church, but the church has blasphemed my name. Listen. The Bible gives some very important warnings. Don't be oblivious to them. Don't ignore them. Listen to them carefully. Whether you understand what I'm preaching to you tonight or not, you listen. Get the tape and go home and search these things out. Now, God gives some very important warnings. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. How can you honor the Holy Spirit when you quench His works? How can you honor the Holy Spirit when you reject His very gifts? How can you honor the Holy Spirit when you ridicule His utterance? How can you honor the Holy Spirit when you make light of His miracles and healing? These are things of the Holy Spirit, you know. How? Quench not the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 39 states, forbid not to speak with tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, listen carefully. I'm not fighting churches. I'm telling you that you and I are responsible for honoring the Holy Spirit. But you know as well as I do that if you were to go to a body of believers, and in many of those cases, if you were to stand at an anointing of the Holy Spirit and give a message in tongues, you would be ushered out and told never to come again. And yet the Bible said, forbid not to speak with tongues. It all depends on whether or not you honor the Holy Spirit. Or listen to man. Now I'm going to sound one of the most important warnings that you will ever hear. I'll give you some verse in the Bible, then tell you the extreme one. It is extremely dangerous to quench the Holy Spirit. It's a sin. Don't forget that. Just to quench Him. The Bible says don't do it.
In the second place, it's extremely dangerous to resist the Holy Spirit. It is a sin. In Acts 7 and 51, the Bible said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." In the third place, it's extremely dangerous to tempt the Holy Spirit like Sapphira did in Acts 5 and 9. It is also very dangerous to lie to the Holy Spirit as Ananias did in Acts 5, 3 and 4. It is also very dangerous to grieve the Holy Spirit as reported in Ephesians 4 and 30 where it said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." It also is very dangerous to insult the Holy Spirit, according to Hebrews 6 and 4 and Hebrews 10 and 26. It is also extremely dangerous to vex the Holy Spirit, according to the 78th Psalm, verse 40, and Isaiah 63 and 10. That you can do all of those things, but beyond them is something you had better not do, nor had I better ever be guilty of. Listen to it. The Bible speaks of an unpardonable sin. Something so grievous to the mind of God that it will never be forgiven. In Jesus' own words, it's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, just how does a person blaspheme the Holy Spirit? What is this thing that's called the unpardonable sin? Now, let's go to the only source that has the answer, the Word of God. Not important what I tell you as a preacher, what my idea, my interpretation, what your denomination says. Those are not really important. It depends on what God says in His Word. Let's go to the Word of God. Now in Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 34, you find the Pharisees establishing a very dangerous precedent. Because in the scripture, Jesus cast a demon out of a mute man, and the man spoke. But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. He does it by the power of Satan." Let's move on to chapter 12 of Matthew. And in this chapter, you'll find that Jesus healed a blind man who was also mute. And he cast out demons, and the man could both see and speak. It was a miracle, a miracle. And yet the Pharisees again said, I quote, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And the Bible says Jesus knew their thoughts. And he went on to say in verses 31 and 32 concerning this, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now the account given in Mark 3, verses 28 through 30, states, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewithsoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." And I'm quoting now, listen, this is out of the Bible. "Because they said he hath an unclean spirit." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The sin against the Holy Ghost. Now listen. The warning's also repeated in Luke 12 and 10, if you want it for record. This sin concerns the Pharisees, or anyone, but they accuse Jesus of being demon-possessed and performing his miracles of healing and casting out demons by the power of Satan. Now you say, how does this involve the Holy Spirit? Because when Jesus healed the sick, when he cast out demons, when he performed his miracles, he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10 and 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It was through the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost that Jesus performed his miracles. Jesus himself admitted that when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the recovering of sight to the blind, and all of these various things, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus Christ, by his own admission and by the teaching of God's word, did what he did in miraculous power through the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And the sin against the Holy Ghost, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that these Pharisees committed, was attributing the works of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus to Satan. Now, my friend, let me tell something to you. You may not understand what goes on in a Holy Ghost-filled church. You may not understand the miracles that are reported, the visible things that happen, the blinded eyes that are opened, the curvature of the spine that is straightened, any of these things that happen, for the Holy Spirit is honored and does his work. You may not understand that, but I tell you, just shrug your shoulders and admit you don't understand it. Don't lay your hand upon it, and especially don't say it's the power of Satan. Because this is the sin against the Holy Ghost. Don't take what God's Spirit does and debase him by attributing it to Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not committed by unwitting people. It's not committed by hard sinners out there doing dastardly deeds in the darkness of night. It's not committed by heathen in the darkest outreaches of the fringe areas beyond the scope of civilization. It is not committed by sinners who drink and carouse and curse and beat their wives and commit adultery. It is committed by religious people who shut their mind to the blessed power of the precious Holy Ghost and refuse to believe what the Bible says about him, and says, away with his works, we'll have nothing of it, it's of Satan. Religious people commit the sin that is unpardonable. There are preachers in this city that will never get to heaven because they have attributed speaking in tongues to Satan. You hear me now? Say what you want. If you don't understand it, say you don't understand it, but keep your mouth shut about what God's book says about the Holy Spirit and his work. There are churches who adopt policies in their conventions against the precious gifts of the Holy Spirit as revealed in the Word of God, that don't realize it, but they forever sign and seal the doom of their churches. Very few people are bold enough to make these statements, but you listen to it. Remember, you may not understand the working of the Holy Spirit, but do not criticize it. Never be guilty of taking the plain teaching of the Word of God and attribute it to those things to Satan. And when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you don't understand it, don't criticize it. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that gifts are distributed and that God's work is done. All gifts are divided to people by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 11.
whether it is the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or of faith or of the gifts of healing or the working of miracles or of prophecy or discerning of spirits or diverse kinds of tongues or the interpretation of tongues, all of these things are the work of the Holy Spirit according to the word of God. Let me warn you, before you attribute any of these gifts to the working of Satan, you had better choke back your feelings and your thinking and your words. It would be better for you to be struck dumb and never able to criticize again than to commit the unpardonable sin and to charge the Holy Spirit's work to Satan. Don't do it.
I warn you because I care. Don't do it. And if you've heard someone that is so insensible to the teaching of the Word of God until they tell you that speaking in tongues is of the devil, flee from that person's presence. Because not one scripture says that. None of them. It says exactly the opposite. They spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Don't put your finger on the Holy Spirit. Blaspheme Jesus if you must. Defame the name of God the Father if you must. But you leave the works of the Holy Spirit alone. Because this has eternal implication. Yes, my friend. It includes speaking in tongues, miracles, healing. I don't ask that you know it all overnight. Many church people, including preachers, have charged these things of being of Satan. But oh, the danger of it all. You may not like all these things you read in the Word of God. You may try to say that they were only for the early church, but you remember, you cannot dissect the Holy Spirit. You cannot embrace the things about Him you like or choose and cast away and criticize and hate and refuse the things about Him you do not want or like and be held guiltless. No. He is the blessed Holy Spirit. I quote to you the words of Catherine Kuhlman. It had an effect on me a few days ago when I listened to them. This is verbatim what she said. Remember the Holy Spirit's great importance and don't treat Him lightly. Never lose sight of the holiness and the power of this mighty third person of the Trinity. Remember, the sin for which there is no forgiveness is not against God the Father. The sin for which there is no forgiveness, neither in this world nor the world to come, is not against Jesus Christ, the Son. But the sin for which there is no forgiveness is against the Holy Ghost. So be careful what you say regarding the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand the manifestations, if you don't understand the power of God, if you don't understand the miracles, if you don't understand the moving of the mighty third person of the Trinity, just shrug your shoulders and say, I don't understand, but be careful and not criticize Him, because that sin is against the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the day of restoration. If I go beyond an hour, please put on another tape. Don't lose what I'm saying here tonight. This is the day of restoration. God is pouring out His Holy Spirit upon all who will receive and believe His Word and who will honor the Holy Spirit. We're getting ready to build a 5,000-seat auditorium. You say, that's foolhardy. No, no. You know who will fill it? The Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Remember, the Bible speaks of many in the last days who will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Of all the church attendance, of all the singing, of all the church membership, in the world, it has no value if you deny the power of God, if you sin against the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's another thing I want to make very clear, and this is going to hit you real hard. But I'm doing it because I'm compelled to do it. To be perfectly honest with you.
You must not insult the Holy Spirit by being a part of a church that denies his power or by supporting a pastor who makes light of the precious gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, did you hear me? Let me say that again. And you listen carefully in this audience. I want it silent while I say it. You must not insult the Holy Spirit by being a part of a church that denies his power or by supporting a pastor who makes light of the precious gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because, my friend, you will not be held guiltless if you continue to be a part of a church that attributes the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate.
You say, wait a minute, preacher. Are you telling me that I have to leave my church? If they preach against the Holy Spirit and his gifts, you do. If you're going to stay in the right place with God. How do you think you're going to be held guiltless by paying that man's salary who spews out his blasphemy from the pulpit and does not believe what God says in his word about the works of the Holy Spirit? How do you think God is going to let you by on judgment day when you wasted your life in a church that is so insensitive to the real teachings of the word of God? And that they tell you that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and healings and miracles, are all of the devil. Don't do it, friend. Get out of that place. And you charismatics that God is pouring out the power of the Holy Spirit upon, he's given you a beautiful prayer language, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit operate in your life, and you're having the time of your life in loving Jesus Christ and being the spiritual person you ought to be, and you have a pastor that criticizes this and puts his finger upon it, and a church that says, away with it, we don't want anything to do with it, get yourself out of there. Don't delude yourself to thinking that you're going to help a few people here and there by staying in there. You get out of that thing that is already on the rocks and going down and get with something that's moving with God's flow of the Holy Spirit, and let's get our world saved before Jesus comes again. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Oh, this is the day of the restoration. Now let me bring you in closing a mind-boggling thought. Something God just poured into my soul the last few days. We know that the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh is to give power and witness ability and miracles and to enable us to win souls. But something else is found in the Word of God. James 5:7. Listen. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, this verse is telling us to be patient until Jesus comes, and that he will come when he has received the fruit, the precious fruit of the earth, that is brought about and produced by the early in the latter rain. Now you think about that. The early rain fell at Pentecost, and there was a great reaping of the harvest of the world. And you and I are in the outpouring of the latter rain. The Holy Spirit is being poured out in this last day so that we might be ready for the Lord to come and to reap the harvest of the earth's saints. That's one of the main things this latter rain is all about. Brother, he is getting the people ready, the precious fruit of the earth, for Jesus to come and reap. It's through the latter rain. It's been falling for more than half a century. And multitudes are being swept in by the power of God. Now, the rapture is tied to the Holy Spirit. This is the church's finest hour. Let me tell you something that I feel in my soul. The Holy Spirit is perfecting the saints for the greatest happening in history. That's why God's pouring out his Spirit upon the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Catholics and people everywhere that open their hearts and are sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit and coming to God. God is pouring out his Spirit. He's perfecting his bride. He's getting the fruit of the church ready. Get it ready. Through the Holy Spirit. This is the church's finest hour. The 8th chapter of Romans gives the treatise of walking in the Spirit. And certainly a person who would walk in the Holy Spirit should be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
But in verse number 11, now you get this. The Bible says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Here we have the revelation that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was by the Holy Spirit. And my friend, the resurrection of the sleeping saints and the rapture of the changing of we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will be by the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is also going to quicken our mortal bodies. When those people come out of those cemeteries, it's going to be by the touch of the Holy Spirit. When you and I feel the change take hold of us, whatever we're doing in the midnight hour, the wee hours of the morning, in church or out of church, the trumpet sounds and Jesus appears, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. And this is what God's doing in this hour. He's getting people ready by the Holy Spirit to go when Jesus comes again. This same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. The Holy Spirit is purifying, empowering, separating mankind. Getting ready, the saints of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed, the singers are coming, I'm closing. Honoring the Holy Spirit. Honoring the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, God help us to face the truth. Now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you sense something very special in this service tonight, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit, by the way. When you come here, hundreds testify that they feel something different. It's the Holy Spirit. You wonder why people are saved in all the services, including Wednesday night? It's because the Holy Spirit is always here. We welcome Him. We love Him. We appreciate Him. He is the power in the church. And He convicts of sin. What you feel right now is the Holy Spirit pulling you toward righteousness. Some of you have come to this church tonight without salvation. Sins are in your life. Your heart is not right with God. You have not had faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And every day that you live, you're committing sin against God. You're walking over the blood of Jesus Christ. You're crucifying afresh the Son of God who died for your sins because you're living in willful transgression of the laws of God. You don't know Jesus. But oh, tonight there is a compulsion wraps itself around your soul and pulls you to repentance. And you want genuine salvation. I mean, you want to know that you're born again. You want to be what God has asked you to be. Now look first of all at this lower section on the main floor. I wonder how many of you here tonight are not really where you ought to be with God. There is sin in your life. You need Jesus to forgive you. And you'll raise a hand high and leave it up so I can see it and look at me when you do it so I'll know. But you need Jesus. Thank you. Yes. You may put it down. Thank you, young man. Down here on the main floor, I'm looking now. Thank you, sir. Are there others? On the main floor? Yes. Way back. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, sir. Are there others? As God deals with the Holy Spirit, pulling you to salvation, to getting your heart right with Almighty God. Yes. Thank you. Are there others? Are there others? Hurry.